Welcome to the Villains Lounge.
Hey, I'd like to welcome all you ladies and gentlemen and boys and girls and all the supervillains to the Villains Lounge. And I am the Three Counts resident supervillain, the Dark Lord himself, the Dark Goat, Damien Fatale. And I am here with my co-anchor today. He is that way.
The only Graves that matters. And don't you forget it.
There you go. There you go. So we're going to start with tonight's news. Tonight's news. It's been a very eventful, interesting weekend. So the Wrestling Observer Awards dropped this past weekend. And I'm only going to mention the only two awards that matter. And that is Booker and Promoter of the Year, because they were won by my homeboys, Tony Khan. Not Tony Khan, Nick Khan. Ooh, wrong Khan.
Oh, look at you. Look at you.
I forgot he won that last year, didn't he?
That's your boy now, huh?
No.
Yes, he won that last year.
But he did win that last year. I'm getting mixed up. But my boy, Nick Khan, winning Promoter of the Year. And yeah, I totally messed that up. Oh, well. And my boy, Paul Levesque, winning Booker of the Year. Whereas Mr. Khan, I think he came in second place.
Tony?
Yeah.
I think so.
The second place that he came in. I mean, he won a bunch of other awards, so good for you, but you didn't win those, so ha! Ha ha! Ha.
What was Show of the Year?
Show of the Year was... let's see. This is a long-ass fucking list, because it's mixed with wrestling and MMA.
Oh, you went...
Best Major Wrestling Show was... Revolution.
Oh.
Worst was Crown Jewel. The worst TV announcer is Booker T. Ooh. But the best is Excalibur.
I like Booker T on commentary.
I do too. But Excalibur, I can't stand it. I feel like it should be the other way around. Excalibur guy. Yeah, fuck Excalibur. I said it. hold on. What did you want to be? The best show?
Yeah, best show. What was Show of the Year?
Shit. Let's see. Worst promotion of the year is NWA.
Wow.
Oh, worst match is Bray Wyatt versus LA Knight.
Oh, was that the Pitch Black match?
I think so.
Okay.
They even had something with Worst Disgusting Promotional Tactic Award. I didn't even think that was a thing. The worst television show is NWA Power.
Ouch.
Yeah. I don't see the actual best like show besides like pay-per-view.
That's kind of what I was leaning towards. What was the best review?
They said Revolution last year. Okay.
And they're saying Crown Jewel was the worst.
Yes.
I can agree with that as the worst.
Yeah, it wasn't that great. All right, so yeah, now I'm moving forward. Sorry, we took 3 minutes on that bullshit. All right, so yay, WWE. Booker and promotion and promoter of the year. There's a story that's going out there that the news reporters around the state have been hitting up female wrestling talent in WWE, asking if there was any potential abuse by anybody in the company. So they're doing some digging, from my understanding. It's I'm not sure how much of a fact that is, but I mean, let's be honest, I wouldn't be surprised, right? So that's been going on. I reported earlier in the week that Tony cut a deal with CMLL, and then there was like rumor that basically no Mexican wrestling talent when CMLL wrestlers are on could be booked. But then I heard a rebuttal that that wasn't true. It just couldn't be Triple A or anybody other than the wrestlers that are signed, particularly to Planned Parenthood. However, there's more news that has come out.
You're horrible.
That it's true. So basically, this fool made a deal with CMLL to put their wrestlers on the show, and when they're on the show and booked, not even his own luchadors can be booked on the same show. The last time it happened was circumstance, mistake, just happened. But yeah, not going to happen anymore.
Would the last time be the Pentagon incident you're referring to?
No, so Commander did a run-in, I believe. And okay, that was just the circumstances, one-off thing. That's it.
Okay, because I read something about Pentagon getting off the Jericho cruise and hanging around thinking that he was booked for one of the AEW shows, but it turned out that wasn't even the case. Like, apparently they had somebody from CMLL on there. And
That might be true. That might where all this story kind of stems from, too, as well.
Yeah.
The Commander incident was just like, people were like, oh, well, Commander was on the show where CMLL guys were on. It was like, well, that kind of was like a one-off special occasion. That will never happen again, basically, from what I gathered. So, yeah, that's a thing. And then, so, the reason for Hangman Page's injury angle was basically because he might actually miss Revolution because of personal issues. So they decided to throw that out there as a precaution and just in the case.
That would give us our one-on-one that everybody's been hoping for instead of the triple threat. Yeah.
Or you could have just let Swerve beat fucking Hangman and let that nigga not be in the goddamn main event.
Nope.
Not need it. No.
I don't think so neither, but.
Yeah, Tony, you're an idiot. All right, so I'm going to run down the TNA Impact results from February 22nd, 2024. And why did I say 2023? I must have been stoned. All right. So Chris Sabin versus Jason Hatch. Sabin went over. Mustafa Ali had a video package. I heard that was really good. The System cut a promo. Simon Gotch wrestled Jack Price and got the W. Steve McClain and Trent Seven went one-on-one, and Steve McClain got the W. Eric Young faced Big Damo. From my understanding, okay, making his like first appearance on, but Young got that W. Ash by Elegance made her debut to face Savannah Thorne, and Ash by Elegance got that W.
Nice.
Then we had a match between two members of the System, and they faced the Top Splitters, I think it was all three members of the System. It was. Versus the Time Splitters, and they had Kevin Knight on their team, which is, I believe, the brother of Saraya.
I believe so, yes.
So, yeah, the System got the W on that one. So that was the main event for Impact. I heard it was a really good show. I'm going to go back and check it. So that's why I'm not giving it a rating yet, but I'm pretty sure it's at least a 2.5-3 for a full show. It's got to be pretty decent because they always do great. So, you know, it was good. You know, it seemed like it was a pretty good match. And, you know, Mustafa Ali being on there. And, you know, you got Nick Namath. And it's just, they got a good roster. They really do have a really solid fucking roster on both ends. So, yeah, that's good. That's good for them. So, I guess we're just good. Let's get into the Friday Night SmackDown. This is the go-home show to the Elimination Chamber, which I will review on Monday. But yes, so this is for 223-24. Like I said, the go-home show to Elimination Chamber. So you know, they did what, a video package kind of running down the Elimination Chamber, showing all 12 contestants, and I think like a little bit of whatever else was going on. But yeah. So then we got into a match between Liv Morgan and Tiffany Stratton, two participants in the chamber. And like I said, dude, Tiffany, I'm a Tiffany fan. I what can I say? I'm a Liv fan too, but I don't know. I'm just a onboard Tiffany fan. And again, smooth, crisp, clean. Her and Liv killed it.
They did kill it. Stratton looks good. It's like she looks better every single week that we see her on TV. Like she's putting in the work, and it's amazing. And Liv Morgan obviously speaks for herself. She's amazing in her as well.
So I gave this one 2.5.
That is exactly what I gave it as well.
All right. Cool. Nice. I know that Drew had a backstage segment and then ran into Bobby.
Yes. After Stratton and Liv Morgan, we had Drew McIntyre talking about how the Elimination Chamber was his last chance to write his redemption story and get to WrestleMania. Bobby Lashley cuts him off, and we get him laughing at Drew, reminding him how he beat him at WrestleMania. And I honestly like the interaction between Drew and Bobby Lashley. I feel like it probably could have been done without. I gave it 1.5, to be honest.
I don't know about that. It was more like something spectacular.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the men's chamber was a little different from the women, where you may have had a few people that wanted to face Seth, but really it was just Drew.
Yeah. It's weird for me because I'm trying to figure out, is Bobby heel? Is Bobby face? Is he like, it's so hard to determine what he is right now.
Well, I think he's face because of the Final Testament?
Okay, that makes sense then. So yeah, I gave that 1.5 axe handles. Moving on after that, you had a Bloodline video package recapping Jimmy beating Jay down on Raw.
That was great.
The Intercontinental title. After that video package, we see Jimmy and Roman backstage in their locker room kind of bullshitting about who called the play, and Roman announces that he was the one who called it, and Jimmy executed it flawlessly. After that, you see the wise man pop up, and Roman requests the presence of Grayson Waller. Me personally, I always like seeing the backstage Roman segments.
They're good.
I gave it 2.5.
No, definitely 2.5. You did forget something. There was a package that aired that I just thought was so fucking hilarious. But I'm also looking forward to the tag team. Cedric Alexander and Ashante the Adonis. I'm looking forward to them as a tag team. That vignette was hilarious.
That was the most hysterical vignette. I put that one right up there with Pretty Deadly using the Queen in their video. The fashion show was just hysterical. That was a 1.5, 2 axe handle segment for me.
Yeah, definitely. And I believe after the Tribal Chief segment, we got the debut of Bron Breakker versus Dante Chan, who I just remember was fighting side by side of Xia Li in NXT.
That is right.
Dude, that kid is talented. He made Bron Breakker look amazing.
He made Bron Breakker look amazing, but at the same time, Bron Breakker made sure that, Dante Chen had a 33 1/3 chance of winning that match. And it you knew it was going to be a squash match from the moment they even skipped Chen's entrance.
Right.
Bron Breakker, man, I love everything I see from him.
From day one.
The fact that you got this man clocked at running the ropes at 25 miles an hour is impressive. That alone should tell you something
all the time about him. All the time.
It being a squash match, though, I would like to see his matches go a little longer in the future, and I'm sure I will. I gave this one axe handle.
It was a squash match. I gave it 1.5. It was a squash match. The thing is, in NXT, Bron definitely works more. I don't think he's really had a squash match in NXT, actually, in a while.
Yeah, it's been at least a hot minute.
Yeah, so, no, he's definitely going to mix it up with some of the big guys.
It's going to be great to watch.
Yeah, it was a great introduction.
Not to interrupt our breakdown of SmackDown real quick, but I have a slight question referring to Bron. Would you bring Baron Corbin up and have him and Bron go at it 1-on-1?
You could, but I feel like no, because Baron is doing such great work down in NXT.
He's doing amazing work in NXT.
I don't want him to go just yet, so no. Yeah. I wouldn't do that.
Moving on from that segment, or from that squash match, we go backstage again with a segment that I kind of caught the tail end of this. This was when I was grabbing a drink.
Right.
I know it leads to New Catch Republic and JD and Tom and Nick Mysterio.
There was like a couple of segments. So there was a Judgment Day segment backstage.
Okay.
They were like basically hyping up the tag title match at the Elimination Chamber and for the match later on in that night. And then I know there was like a quick beatdown.
Yeah.
For that with the Legado del Fantasma. Ooh, I almost screwed that one up. They attacked. Was it Joaquin Wild and what's the other one?
I'm gonna.
I can't remember his name because they changed it.
Yeah.
Okay, those two.
Yep. And then LWO.
Yeah, basically LWO. And then Carlito kind of ran him off.
Yeah.
Something else happened.
That was when we also saw Dakota Kai getting carried back
to that was it.
Medical for what we later learned was damage control jumping her.
Right.
I don't trust Dakota Kai.
It's really, really iffy.
But we'll have to see how that plays out.
That's true. So then you got the New Catch Republic versus the Judgment Day, members of Dirty Dom and JD McDonagh. It was a really good match.
This was match of the night for me. I love tag team wrestling. It is just something about it. I love it. I beg for more tag team wrestling. Wholeheartedly. 100%, I stand behind this being a 3 3/4 to 4-star, four axe handle match. Like I would, if you like tag team wrestling, I would look for this match.
Okay, I gave it 3. It was very fun. I was watching it when we were doing the debate show.
Okay,
I caught like some of it before, but it was like the end I missed.
Okay,
but I enjoyed it. It was really good. It was really, really good. Really, 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 really good.
Of course, after you get Dunn and Bates over JD and Dom, out come Finn and good old Damian Priest to jump down to catch Republic.
And as they should.
And they beat the shit out of them.
No. It was good to build their match.
It was good to build their match, and I feel like it needed it. I feel like if any match on the Elimination Chamber card wasn't really built enough, I think it was that one.
Yeah, because they just kind of won a number one contendership instead of it being DIY, who they have history with more.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it was a good way, like you said, to build some tension.
Yeah. So, after that match, I believe we went backstage again.
We did.
I believe that was Austin Theory, Mr. Logan Paul, and Grayson Waller. That was them three talking, and KO Kevin Owens interrupts him and begs Logan Paul to bring the brass knuckles to Australia.
And
just so his dumbass would get him arrested at at the immigration section when you come into a different country. I don't know because I don't fly.
It's the airport. It's customs.
Yeah. Okay, customs. That's what it is. Like I said, I don't fly, so
it's okay.
Of course, that was a good segment. You also got Paul Heyman, who cut in and decided to commandeer Mr. Grayson Waller, informing him that the tribal chief wanted to see him. All three of them had the perfect opportunity to jump KO, and they all realized that they missed it.
They did.
This was good. But as my rating has always been and shall always stay, anything Logan Paul is negative 1 million axe handles for me.
I'm going to give it 2. I'll do it 1/2 just because you're giving it negative.
Realistically, it was a decent segment backstage.
No, it was. It served its purpose.
It did.
We had the Street Profits versus the Authors of Pain.
This also wasn't bad. Like,
I was surprised.
I was expecting to
be just a straight up massacre.
I just thought it was going to be straight up shit. Like, I just, very rare that
work. The Profits can work. The Profits can work. AOP work really good when they're either A, just dominating, or B, they're up against a team that knows what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah.
Like, AOP's really, like, Authors of Pain is a really good tag team. I was so sad when they got released the first time. And I'm kind of iffy about where they're at now.
They are a good tag team versus where they were when they first showed up. But, like, I've always stood by, it's really, really hard if you are A, tall, and B, a bigger person, to get people to get behind your matches. And Authors of Pain are both big fucking dudes. Let's be serious. They're not little.
It's not a long shot.
But this wasn't bad. Like, they both looked good. I think the Street Profits look like the Street Profits always do, and they look good.
Yeah.
I gave it 2.75.
I gave it 2.
Okay.
It's a really good, solid tag match. And then, so our main event, which I was actually looking forward to this, which was LA Knight versus Drew McIntyre. And see, all right, see, now I'm getting ready. I know right now I've bitched and complained about this, but I'm okay with a DQ finish if it makes fucking sense.
Yeah.
These are two guys in the Elimination Chamber. You do not want to hurt either one.
I knew this was going to end in just wild haberdashery.
It makes sense. They're in the elimination chamber. It makes sense that everybody in the match is going to come out eventually. You know what I mean? Or at the end, it's going to cause a bunch of problems. Like, it just, it's building the freaking six-man elimination chamber match.
It really did. It really did. You had Drew come out and have his match. You had Logan Paul come out and decide that he wanted to sit commentary. And you had KO jump in from the crowd. Like, it just, you knew what was going to happen. We see this all the time. It was nothing new.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it wasn't bad.
No, it was a fun match. LA Knight and Drew had a nice little fun match. They didn't have to go all crazy, all out. It was a good main event. It made both men look great. At the end of it, it made all six men look viable and great. So I gave it two.
Yeah, that's what I gave it. I gave it two.
And then for a go home, I think it's like a three total.
For the overall of the show?
Yeah, overall of the show, I think it's like a three
total. The overall of the show, I gave it 2.5 to 3 axe handles.
Yeah, so it was definitely a decent go home. It had some build. It's wrestling. Like, not everything everybody's going to love and like. But, for me, it was solid. It was a solid show.
It's what you can expect from premium live events going forward with us being on the road to WrestleMania, is they're going to do everything they can to protect people like Cody and Drew and Seth and Becky. So you're going to see a lot more backstage and so on and so forth with these go-home shows. So
we got to keep them healthy, dude. We got to make Mania. That's important. So, like, now that Mania is dang near set, like, yeah, you're right. We're going to see more backstage, more little brawls, nothing too crazy for them to, a little off matches and that ends in, like, you know, haberdashery.
Exactly.
Hey, that was the Villains Lounge. So I appreciate everybody sticking with us. We do have another watch along this Sunday coming up.
Which one's this?
You get to see me bitch and complain about Revolution.
Oh, here we go. Oh, man.
Iron, the Bucks. Ooh, it's going to be interesting.
Oh, man. Ooh,
we'll see how mad Tony Khan can make me. So, make sure you check that out. Of course.
I'm definitely tuning into that. And so should you.
Of course, you know, we got the Now Entering the Ring, so check those out. You know, Chaz and Friends, and or Red Dog and Friends, and or Damien and Friends. Check it out. Go back. Go watch it. Wherever you listen to your podcast, watch your podcast, we're there. We're on it. See all the socials and all that. Yeah, like, you know, hit us up. Infinite Plus Network, hit us up. Like, buy our shit. And if you don't, I will come after you. I don't think you want that. So, thank you for listening. Exactly. So, thank you for listening, and we will see you tomorrow night. Peace.
Welcome to the Villains Lounge.